Looking for something to do next weekend? We have a suggestion.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Ryan Collins is going to be busy next weekend. We'll ask why, then ask Garrison Keillor for the Writer's Almanac on Scribble. Big plans, huh?
Yeah, a lot going on, for sure.
A lot going on next weekend.
Most definitely.
What exactly?
It's the first time event that we're having at the Midwest Writing Center that we're partnering with the Rock Island Public Library on, called the Rocktown Lit Fest. It's a two-day event on Friday, May 6th and Saturday, or Friday, May 5th and Saturday, May 6th, excuse me.
What all goes on?
So on Friday, we're going to do a lit crawl around downtown Rock Island that'll coincide with the gallery hop. We've got three different readings at three different locations. We'll start at the Midwest Writing Center, which is in the ground floor of the Rock Island Public Library main branch. We start at 6 o'clock, and then we'll move to the Blue Cat Brew Pub at 7 o'clock for some more readings, and then we'll finish up at Rostock's. At 8 o'clock.
At Rostock's?
Yeah, at Rostock's, with a little bit longer reading. And we have a headliner coming from Chicago, a woman named Tara Betts, who's a really amazing poet, educator. So we're really excited to have her, and she'll close things out. And then.
So are you going to have different poets at each location? Or?
Poets, writers. It's not poetry exclusive. Okay. So, yeah, we try to have a mix of poetry and prose.
Are these people that volunteered, or did you invite certain people in the community?
I invited a lot of the people who were involved. We put out feelers to different individuals and just trying to fill out the bill since it's the first time we're doing this.
Right.
We're kind of just getting a sense of who's interested in participating. You know, a lot of the people who are reading are local or regional, but we do have a couple of people coming from out of town.
Okay.
Why? What brought this up? I mean, why are you doing this?
A lot of different reasons. One, to celebrate reading and writing in our community, which is something that the Writing Center is always concerned with. And doing, you know, any sorts of events or programming that we can to sort of raise awareness and shine a light on writers in our community and provide opportunities for people who love to read to find some new writers to read, some new poets to check out. It was also something we talked about doing at the Rock Island Public Library. We just moved there in November, so we've only been there for a few months. They were interested in doing kind of a community event that would be engaged with the downtown area and sort of jump in on a lot of what they've got going on down there. And it's a very busy weekend. I know there's a lot of other events. Like I said, Gallery Hop's going on Friday night the 5th. Tour to Brew, I believe, is the next day. There's a big open house for a bunch of downtown businesses and establishments. So there's a lot going on in downtown Rock Island, and we're trying to be a part of it. And the other thing is, there's a lot of festivals around. We're getting into that time of year where there's a lot of arts and culture festivals, and a lot of them are growing and changing, and there's obviously a whole lot of music that goes on, and there's art festivals and things like that. And sometimes I think in this community, literature maybe gets left out a little bit. So rather than waiting to be invited or asked to join somebody else's party, we're kind of throwing our own party.
Mm-hmm. What happens on Saturday?
On Saturday, we've got a book fair at the library. It goes from 10 to 4. So pretty much all day at the library. The library is open from 9 to 5. Throughout the day, we'll have some panel discussions. Some of the authors that are participating in the book fair will participate in different panel discussions. We've got some readings that'll go on throughout the day, and those things are all staggered throughout the entire book fair. So,
panel discussions on what kind of topics?
We're having three panel discussions. The first one will be writing in place. So writers kind of talking about how place influences their writing or how they go about engaging with place in their work. The next one will be therapeutic sentences, writing as a healing process. So writers talking about the the various ways that writing can be a healing process, can be cathartic, can allow us a way to sort of get some things off our chests and sort of outside of us and maybe on the page to share with other people, and how that can that experience can be therapeutic for readers as well. And then the last panel we're doing is recommended by writers on reading. So it'll be writers talking about books that have influenced them, books that inspired them to pick up the pen or hit the keys and start doing their own work, and just work that they love and enjoy and that they want to recommend to other people. So those are the three panels that we're having.
Is it, there won't be a book sale with it.
Yeah, there definitely will. Oh. Throughout the entire day, we've got about 24 authors and about 6 presses. That'll be there from 10 to 4. It'll be on the second floor of the main branch library, so they'll be up there throughout the day. And the readings will be in our space on the ground floor, and the panel discussions will be in the community room adjacent to where the book fair is going to be.
Roll, this means you and I can't go.
No, I intend to be there because this sounds interesting. But I like the idea of the last panel discussion, and I've never asked you. We've had you on before, but you wear so many hats, we can't do all of you at one
sure.
thing. But what writers got you going?
What writers got me going? That's a long list. I took a creative writing class when I was an undergrad at the University of Iowa in the summer. It was sort of a compressed class. It focused on 3 poets, and 2 of those poets are ones that have stayed with me. Elizabeth Bishop and Frank O'Hara, okay. who are somewhat contemporaneous, but also very, very different poets. Those are 2. One of my favorite writers is Dennis Johnson, who's written fiction and poetry and writes plays now and has written nonfiction, and I think is one of the greatest living American writers. I'm constantly looking for new readers, new writers. Another one of my favorites right now is Roxane Gay, who just had a book of short stories come out. She's got her memoirs coming out later this year, which a lot of people are really excited about. I'm definitely one of them. I think she's an amazing and important voice. As far as poets go, too many to name. I'm always looking for new voices, new writers, and I'm fortunate that I have a good network of people and kind of know where to look. And so there's constantly new, fresh, amazing, important work.
I've explained before that when I was in school in the 50s, my English teachers were fairly down because it looked like the atomic age was going to mean the end of poetry and the end of literature. And once the big guys were gone, Frost and Auden and Eliot, you know, there wouldn't be much left. And it turns out, you know, poetry and all kinds of writing are as alive and well today as they ever were, if not more so. Now, the number of good writing today, Christian Science Monitor has had to depart from its annual, the 15 best books of the year. And now they get the best 10 books of the week.
Yeah.
But And that's true. I mean, there's so much good writing.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's easy to get overwhelmed, and there, you know, with the internet, there's kind of a seeming infinity of places to go and find amazing writing and literature of all stripes. But I think a lot of times people, you know, with all of that information and all that availability and accessibility, sometimes people don't. Look at what's nearest to them, which would be local writers. You know, every writer, every book you've ever read was written by someone who started out, you know, kind of on their own. So we want to showcase local
writers.
Yeah,
that's certainly one of the purposes of Scribble, I think. One of the things I want to make sure before our time runs out to ask you is I know you've been involved at least with Aaron Bertram and maybe some others in what you call collaborative poetry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Well, Aaron and I, we got to be friends a long time ago, the collaborative writing we've done, I mean, it can take all different kinds of forms. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but what Aaron and I have done, has been sort of a correspondence.
Does it work?
One of us, we sort of decide we want to write something together, and, one of us gets an idea for something, you know, whatever's kind of on our mind or whatever seems like it might be something that...
Like a line or an image or...
It's for us, it's been whole poems.
Okay.
So one of us will send something to the other, and the other writes back, and it ends up being sort of, you know, literally like a correspondence, like two people writing letters to each other.
But I thought occasionally you combined, you both did a line here and a line there and put it together in a poem.
I mean, there's a lot of ways I think it can work. I think that's definitely one of them. That's not something that I've done with Erin.
Okay.
And it's been a little while since she and I have done anything. Since she's off doing amazing things like getting her PhD. but that's kind of what we've done. But yeah, I mean, there's a great little book called Nice Hat Thanks by Joshua Beckman and Matthew Rohr, came out probably like 15 years ago. And that's a really great, it's got some great examples of trading one line for one line, two lines, two lines, you know, going every other word. It's got these little kind of experiments that they did, and they're a lot of fun and really worth checking out. But there's a whole galaxy of really amazing collaborative writing out there. So
you mentioned the importance of Elizabeth Bishop. There's a new book out now of her correspondence with a fellow poet that is catching a lot of attention. And as a matter of fact, there's been a
with Robert Lowell, isn't it?
Yeah, who's that?
Robert Lowell.
The other
biggie back in the
and there's been
50s.
A focus on Elizabeth Bishop recently,
right?
So you chose well for your influences, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there are too many other poets, I think, with that sort of like vision and sort of precision in language. I don't know. It's just something I think that has a kind of timeless quality. And it was fresh when she was writing it, and I think it's equally fresh now.
What are you writing?
Right now I've been working on a series of prose poems for the last few months.
Can you give us a sample?
Sure. Yeah. I've got one right here. This was recently published on a magazine called The Pinch on their website. They're a journal that's run through the University of Memphis. So this is called The Trick Is Not Sneaking Out. The Trick Is Not Getting Caught. Out a window, through a glass door, over a fence. Collect hood ornaments by the shoebox full. We learn to walk around the streetlight orbits, between clods swept off the moon. We learned there are too many stars, too much dying. We got good at climbing into cover, the folds of darkness where we hid as long as we could hold our breath until the sirens arrived at other nearby trespasses.
Why, you criminal, you.
What intrigues you about Pearl's poetry?
I like hybrid forms. I like, you know, I like a good line break and enjambment and, you know, stanza delineation as much as anybody else. But I think there's a lot of possibility in the sort of prose poetry, you know, that sort of nexus. I'm not so interested in narrative all the time, but I think this is maybe a different way to sort of accumulate some narrative or sort of have kind of an associative narrative. I think it's still it allows me to retain kind of the lyrical qualities, but I don't know. It's just a different way of pursuing whatever thoughts are sort of informing what I'm writing. And I write in series, so once I write a couple things that feel good and start to make sense to me, I tend to write into that for as long as I can. And I've been working on this now off and on since last summer and just trying to, you know, a lot of revision and trying to get some work out in the world and trying to get some of them published and hopefully see if there's some interest out there.
Why aren't you teaching?
I do teach. Yeah, I teach. I'm an instructor at St. Ambrose University.
Okay, because you sound as if you're equipped to be a teacher.
I hope so. I love teaching. One of the great things about the Writing Center is it affords me opportunities to work on programs like the Young Emerging Writers Summer Internship Program, which is a paid internship program for high school students, and it's a jobs program, but it's run very much like a graduate creative writing workshop. The kids have a lot of reading and writing to do. There's a lot of analysis. There's a lot of discussion of each other's work. There is a lot of discussion about publishing, particularly magazine publishing, independent magazine publishing. So there's a lot of education that goes on, and I'm really fortunate that I have an excellent staff that I work with who are all really great teaching artists. So we're gearing up for that this summer. We publish a magazine every summer. And I get to do a lot of one-off workshops. I just did a workshop for Living Proof at the Figge a few weeks back, and that was really excellent. So, yeah, I love any opportunity I can get to sit in a room with some people and, you know, mess around with some text and do some writing and talk about what we're thinking about.
You know, reading is a private and quiet activity, and yet you're going to kick things up a little bit this next weekend. Would you just take us through what's going to happen next weekend one more time?
Sure thing. So on Friday night, May 5th, we're going to have a lit crawl through downtown Rock Island. Starts at 6 o'clock at the Rock Island Public Library on the ground floor and the Writing Center space. We'll have a few readers there, and then we'll move to the Blue Cat at 7 o'clock and have a few more readers there, and then we'll end up at Roz Talks. With a little bit longer reading, and our headliner, who again is a poet from Chicago named Tara Betts. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, May the 6th at the library, we've got our book fair, which goes from 10 to 4. A couple dozen local regional writers, some presses, Saga, the literary magazine from Augustana, will be there actually. And we've got panel discussions and readings throughout the day. We've got a youth featured reading at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that day. So just a lot going on. And yeah, I think you're right. Reading tends to be kind of a private endeavor, but, I think there's a lot of value in, getting together, and experiencing that in a public setting and, you know, sort of being able to, engage with that work, in a group. I mean, people go to shows all the time to hear musicians play, right? But we like to listen to music on our own privately. And I don't really see any difference between the two. So hopefully people will come out, and if they haven't been to a reading, I think this is a really excellent opportunity to check one out for the first time, because at least a couple of these venues aren't places you would generally expect to see.
Well, they're sort of going to get some variety, right?
Yeah, definitely. We've got some younger writers. We've got some people, you know, award-winning poets with several books, you know, writer, memoir authors, you know, fiction writers. So there'll be a good range throughout the lit crawl for sure.
Well, we want to thank you very much, Ryan, for cluing us in on this. It's coming up this next Friday and Saturday in Rock Island. So be ready for it Friday night and through the middle of the day on Saturday. It centers on the Midwest Writing Center and the Rock Island Public Library. That's a good place to start on Friday night.
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Ryan.
And with
that,
we
will move to another good friend, Garrison Keeler, and the Writer's Almanac. Support for Writer's Almanac on WVIK comes from the Mississippi Valley Regional Blood Center, working together with volunteer donors to provide blood products and services to hospitals throughout the region. Information at bloodcenter.org. Let's open up the book bag, and my goodness, Roll Tweed is inside.
Well, and I'm here with another Ice Cube Press book. Steve Semkin has been busy, apparently, this past year, and so has a poet that we've talked about before. We've, in fact, interviewed him on this program, Salvador Marisi. Is out with a new book called Fermentations, which is very yeasty and bubbly. If you know Sal Marisi at all, if you've heard him read, he doesn't stand still. Last time I heard him read was at the Bettendorf Library, and 45 minutes before his program, he was down on the sidewalk buttonholing people to come up to the poetry reading and offering copies of his book for sale. He is a writer whose poetry simply bubbles all over the place, as you might exist from a fermentation thing. But here's one that I found particularly meaningful, but it's typical of Salvador's investment in life. This is called 12:30 p.m. Thanksgiving Day Ritual, and it's simply the story of apparently this Sal lives across the street from a couple of neighbors that he's friends with, the Beelers, and apparently it's a ritual to put his own turkey in the oven, and then he and his wife go across the street for a drink with these neighbors. This seems to me really true to life, the way in which we use ritual to handle things that are not very pleasant. We always use it. And this is it, 12:30 p.m. Thanksgiving Day ritual. After I put a turkey in my oven and before the juices drip, Kathy and I walk from my garage across the township's blacktop to Steve and Helen's farmhouse built in the early 1900s. My right hand carries an uncorked Cabernet Sauvignon. Steve sets four glasses he cut from bottles on the kitchen table, pours. Helen rolls her walker to the wooden chair with three pillows. We sit. She keeps the two prongs on the oxygen concentrator's plastic tube stretched from the living room in her nostrils under long and cream-polished nails. Helen's fingers push a white bubble. A pink pill tears thin tinfoil. Her voice rasps, "I lived with cancer for 10 years. First time I need to take something for nausea." Wine slips medicine. The machine clicks sighs. The doctor wants to try a new chemo, but we don't know if the insurance will pay for it. She lifts and tilts the vessel. Her bottom lip seals the edge. Red fluid leaves and disappears. She holds the empty container to Steve. "I don't know if I care. My body tells me enough." A couple sip drips from the upside-down bottle. "We got a lot to be thankful."
Oh, that's very good.
He's good, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what's the name of that book?
Fermentations.
Okay, and is that out or is it coming
out? It is coming out again June 1st, but...
We're getting a sneak preview
of these things. Sneak preview of it, right.
Well, that's, there's so many books. We talked to Ryan about the upcoming book fair and the lit crawl and so on. Ryan, I think, we've only had one or two people repeated on this program in the over 2 years we've been on the air. And we still have more to go that we haven't talked to.
It is unreal, the number of people who depend in one way or another on the written word for their livelihood or their passion or their hobby or whatever it might be. Just incredible.
One of the things that interests me is writing on the computer and writing on paper. Does anyone write on paper anymore?
Somebody has to. I think computer writing does things to your style.
It does.
It theoretically should be easier, but I cannot do it because it just absolutely flattens out everything I try to write. And maybe it's just me. You know, my kids, my grandkids have no trouble sitting down at a computer and composing, but I like the feel of the letters coming out of the pen or the pencil.
I think that you are... part of a vanishing breed, though.
I am part of a vanishing breed, right. And who knows, you know, the computer revolution is just beginning, right? It's 30, 40 years old.
But if no one puts anything on paper and computers behave the way they do, how are we going to have anything?
Well, who's going to write letters anymore, right? We email.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's quite different from people. Email styles are different from writing styles.
Yeah. Well... that's our comment writing for today, but we want to thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week for another Scribble. We'll see you then.